Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Boy, some people's music takes are terrible. Just terrible. Somebody just said the halftime shows are dog. You fill in the blank. Kendrick Lamar is terrible. You're a moron. Host said he wanted to see a play instead of a concert because concerts, people just stand in front of mics. Dumbest take I ever heard. I didn't say I wanted to see a play. I said I wanted to see a performance. Something more closely resembling musical theater where there is choreography. There are scenes. Things that elicit an emotional response. Degent metal is the only real music left. Country and rap are pop music. Rap shows are boring as hell. Degent metal? What? Stop. Stop. Don't ever give me a musical take ever again, as long as you live. Frankly, I don't know if I want to hear a take from you on anything ever again, ever. We're moving on. Goodness. That's a bad one. Another person says, hear me out. We have people analyzing the players slash teams slash game for 2 weeks. I'm like Logan's dad. I'm into the 90s beefs. Why can't we have a halftime show analyst to explain what we might see or just saw? Just throwing it out there. It's not a bad idea. Bring a guy on shortly after the halftime show ends, you know, during those breaks in between the halftime show and when the second half starts to kind of break something down. People didn't want a concert. They wanted to be entertained. It was not entertaining to 75% of the viewership. Oh, so you talked to everybody who watched the halftime show, and you concluded by a fact that 75% of the people that watched the Super Bowl halftime show didn't like it. Somehow, I highly doubt your numbers are all that well put together. Not entirely sure on that one. After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan, Logan Weber here alongside our producer for tonight's show is Jacob Mustard. We've got some more news on the Kansas City Chiefs. A lot of fans, and I'm not saying that you're entirely ill-founded if you have this belief. I understand the frustration surrounding it. But there's a lot of people that are hopping on to the Fire Matt Nagy line of disappointment or line of complaint with this Kansas City Chiefs team and what happened on Sunday. I don't necessarily say I am of that belief. I don't think Matt Nagy is to blame for why the Chiefs lost the Super Bowl. And if he is, why are we asking for him to be fired? We're going to fire an offensive coordinator who's been to consecutive Super Bowls. Sounds a bit ludicrous, though. I don't necessarily believe that. I mean, the Chiefs lose one game. They lose their first playoff game in 1,000 days, and all of a sudden the sky is falling. There's a huge contingent of the Fire Matt Nagy crowd, and if you're one of them, you have every right to that opinion. I don't necessarily agree with it, but there are some who do, and that's all well and good. If you can prove the point to me, fine. But moreover than that, if you want Matt Nagy out, give me a good replacement. Who's a guy that can fill those shoes? Don't say Eric Bieniemy, because I don't think it's going to be Eric Bieniemy. I mean, his career has taken a turn very much downward since his time in Kansas City came to a close, right? He goes from the OC of the Chiefs to the OC for the Washington Commanders, where he's fired after 1 year. Then he goes to be the offensive coordinator for the UCLA Bruins, in which he is fired after 1 year. And now he's like an offensive assistant. He's back in the NFL. So, you know, give him that. But I just don't see that as a reliable option. If you've got one, share it with us. 913-586-7965. If you think Matt Nagy should be fired, who should be his replacement? Who is a good name to throw into the ring as somebody who could come in and take over this role? Because I also have a hard time believing that the Chiefs would hire somebody that's not within the Andy Reid coaching tree. And for good reason. Because it hasn't hurt you yet. You brought over Steve Spagnuolo from the Andy Reid coaching tree, and that's worked out tremendously. You had Matt Nagy. Helped you get Patrick Mahomes. He leaves. And then you bring in Eric Bieniemy. Eric Bieniemy does good things with him. He leaves. You bring Matt Nagy back. And you go to consecutive Super Bowls. Winning one along the way. I just don't know. Somebody said that the reason he has to go is simple. Our offense has gotten worse every year that he's been back. It doesn't really matter who's actually calling the plays. When production starts to go in the toilet, you have to look for what changed. And we've had more mediocre receivers and offensive line for 5 years now. The change was our offensive coordinator. Okay. If that is the belief that you have, I think there were other extenuating circumstances that led to that. I think that you mentioned the wide receiver room dropped dramatically. Travis Kelce has gotten older. The tackle positions for this Chiefs team have not been fixed. They have been patchwork. I think it's more than just Matt Nagy. And like you said, Matt Nagy doesn't call the plays. He's one person in a large machine that is the play calling duties for the Kansas City Chiefs. Somebody else says Matt Nagy is the reason the offense is undisciplined. It's night and day watching 22 to now. EB had those boys acting right. It was and always will be Andy's offense, but somebody has to crack the whip, and it's sure not Nagy. No, Matt Nagy is more of a player's coach. He's more buddy-buddy. He's more peer-to-peer versus coach-to-player, and that has its good and that has its bad. I don't know. I'm not necessarily saying Matt and Nagy should be out. Matt Nagy should be out, but there is a drastic decline in offensive numbers since Bieniemy left. And you're right, the numbers do back that up. But I don't think that Matt Nagy is solely to blame for that. Doug Peterson. So a couple of people said Doug Peterson would be the only option, I think. I get it. Doug Peterson is a guy that fits the Matt Nagy fits the Andy Reid coaching tree. Excuse me. He does have success as a head coach, although it hasn't gone all that well for him as of late. Right? He won a Super Bowl with Philly and then got fired after a 4-11 season and just went 4-13 with the Jacksonville Jaguars with a young, talented starting quarterback in Trevor Lawrence. They never got above 9-8 during that time. Potentially. Somebody else says Cliff Kingsbury is not available. Feels like scoring and yards per game is down. Winning margin has dwindled to single digit wins. Yeah. And I think some of that can be attributed to Andy Reid, not necessarily to Matt Nagy in some respects. An article from ESPN came out earlier today, which is kind of a fascinating read. There is a quote within the article that is very perplexing in a lot of respects. Joe Blamire was talking about putting together the game plan with Andy Reid and Matt Nagy and the Chiefs staff. He said he often wonders, quote, are we utilizing him the best? Are we giving him the stuff that he needs? It's just constantly second guessing ourselves just so that he has everything he needs to go be himself. There were a lot of people this season who said that the Chiefs seemingly were playing offense like they were a little bit scared. And this comment kind of backs that up, where not necessarily scared of Mahomes, scared that they weren't doing enough for Mahomes, scared that they were making mistakes somehow. You can't coach football scared. And so for Joe Blamire to say that, And he mentions himself, he mentions Matt Nagy, he mentions Andy Reid, he mentions others on the Chiefs coaching staff. I think that that goes along with what I'm saying here about it's not just Matt Nagy is the reasoning behind why the offense has begun to struggle. I think that they are calling plays a little bit scared afraid that they're making mistakes, afraid that they don't have enough to surround Mahomes with, and that's not a way to win football games. I would love to see this team go back to just bleeping, sling it. Just let 15 get in the pocket and make magic happen. Is he going to make mistakes? Yep. It happens. Quarterbacks make mistakes sometimes. But the overly conservative style in which they played the back half of the year, I think, was a showcase as to why Sunday inevitably came to fruition the way that it did. An 832 says, we would have gone to consecutive Super Bowls if EB never left, though. Well, EB did leave, and you still went to consecutive Super Bowls. So I'm not sure what the point is with that. So I don't know. It's an interesting one. If and again, 913-586-7965 is our number. If you believe Matt Nagy is the problem with this Chiefs offense and needs to go, give me a name. Who is a suitable replacement to fill the shoes of Matt Nagy, in your opinion? If I find a good one, I'll share it. We'll see if we can find one. At the end of the day, though, I don't think it's going to happen. Somebody says, okay, look at it this way. If Andy Reid retires tomorrow, are you good with Matt Nagy being our head coach? I don't think that would go over well. His marginal success in Chicago when the NFC North was arguably the worst division in that conference doesn't instill a lot of confidence. No, I don't think Matt Nagy would be your head coach. How many NFL teams promote a coordinator to their head coach within an organ? It's almost always an outside hire from somewhere else. It wouldn't matter if Eric Bieniemy was still the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy retired. I still don't think it would be Andy. Honestly, if we're looking at the coordinators for this Chiefs team, if Andy was to retire, Steve Spagnuolo would get the job over Matt Nagy 1,000 times out of 100. I don't know. I just don't know. I think that there's a lot of things being thrown at the wall to make stick that it's Matt Nagy's fault that I don't believe are incredibly well-founded. I think that he is being used as a scapegoat for some who are just upset that the Chiefs lost their game. And you should be upset that the Chiefs lost a game. They lost because they weren't the better football team on Sunday. Simple as that. The play calling was poor. The play on the field was poor. It happens sometimes. But you got to the Super Bowl. You finished second out of 32 teams in the NFL and were calling for people's heads on spikes, metaphorically. But still, I don't see that. I don't see Matt Nagy as the guy that's the problem for why this is all happening. I don't know. 913-586-7965 is our number. Speaking of ESPN, I mentioned that article on the Chiefs season. They the experts, the NFL experts at ESPN, have already made predictions on the 2025 season. So we will take a look at those and react to what we're seeing on the other side of this break. You're listening to After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber joined by Jacob Mustard. This is your home for Kansas City sports.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
News for the Kansas City Royals. This dropped about 20 minutes ago. I want to shout out a listener in the text line in 913 who pointed this out to me. I had just scrolled over it on Twitter, not paying any attention. Jeff Passan reporting from ESPN that the Kansas City Royals and left-handed pitcher Cole Reagans are in agreement on a three-year contract extension worth $13.25 million, so just over $4.3 million a year to keep Cole Reagans, or $4.4 million a year to keep Cole Reagans in Kansas City. Now, of course, the Royals already own He doesn't have enough service years to become a free agent, even after these 3 years are up. But what this allowed, it will cover this season and the first two seasons after this year. So next year in 2025-26 and then the 26-27 sort of seasons, which will allow him to avoid arbitration. So now the Royals have certainty as to how much Reagans is going to be making every year. And for Cole Reagans, this is nearly top of the market sort of level salary for somebody who is in their arbitration years and arbitration seasons. So this isn't a situation where the Royals have absolutely fleeced the Cole Reagans situation. This was probably about what he would have made if he was in the arbitration sort of market. If he continues to have good years like he has the last two since he or one and a half since he arrived in Kansas City from the Rangers at the deadline a couple of seasons ago. But that's nice. So for the very near future, for the next three seasons, Cole Reagans is undoubtedly a member of the Kansas City Royals, making around $4.4 million a year at that three-year, $3.25 million contract extension. So not necessarily like highway robbery or whatever. This is just a good move, I think, for both sides. It gives both the Royals and Cole Reagans solid structure, right? Reagans doesn't have to worry about how much he's going to be determined to be worth through an arbitration hearing, and the Royals don't have to worry about Reagans potentially ending up as worth more than that $4.4 million roughly that they'll pay him each year in the arbitration hearings. That you don't have to sit there and, because those arbitration hearings are brutal, man, where Cole Reagans has got a, he's got a come out with evidence to support what he believes his worth is to the organization, and the Royals inversely have to determine why he's not worth the amount of money that he's asking for. And that's hard. That's tough on a relationship with a front office and a player. I think this is a massive, massive move for this team. And another showing that John Sherman is not afraid to spend money. And I think that's great for this organization because, you know, the Glass family and David Glass, the chairman and CEO of the Royals for many, many years, he didn't always seem to be the most willing to pay upper echelon players, right? No matter what the cost was, right? He dealt Zach Greinke when he wanted money. Now, that one ended up working out for the betterment of all involved, right? Because it got you Mike Moustakas, it got you Lorenzo Cain, it got you Alcides Escobar. That worked out great. But you let Matt Damon walk. You let Carlos Beltran walk, right? You let Hosmer and Moustakas walk after they had great years in Kansas City, along with Lokane and Alcides Escobar and Ben Zobrist and plenty of others along the way. So I'm excited to see that the Royals are continuing to kind of put their money where their mouths are and keep their players happy and paid. And I think that that's very, very important. I mentioned before we hit the break that ESPN, the four-letter network, had a collection of 13 NFL experts, I say in quotations. Now, some of them pretty good names. Dan Graziano, Jeremy Fowler, Matt Bowen, Kalen Collar, Mike Tannenbaum. So there's some Field Yates, of course, another one. I always kind of get a little bit nervous about the possibility of so-called experts. None of us are experts, man, all right? None of us. Just believe that. But they came out with their predictions for next year. So let's take a look. Matt Bowen says Lions over Browns. Jeremy Fowler says Bills over Rams. The Rams? The Rams, who are trading Cooper Kupp and have an aging quarterback in Matthew Stafford? The Rams are going to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl next year? I'm not sure I see it, Jeremy. Dan Graziano says Chiefs over Commanders. So we got our first Chiefs pick. Kalen Collar says Eagles over Bills. Somebody said, did I say Matt Damon? Matt Bowen? I apologize if I said Matt Damon.
You did.
He's taking a break from acting. He didn't do that Dunkin' Donuts commercial during the Super Bowl so that he could make these picks. So I apologize. All right, I'm getting flamed in the text line. I get it. I had a faux pas. Pamela Maldonado said Bengals over Commanders. Bengals. Bengals got to pay Johnny Damon, not Matt Damon. I hate myself. Oh, it happens. Bengals over Commanders. I'm not sure, Pamela. That means the Bengals would likely have to pay T. Higgins and Trey Hendrickson. I'm not sure if they'll do it. Eric Moody says Bills over Lions. Jason Reed says Ravens over Eagles. Aaron Schatz says Bills over Lions. Ben Solak says Ravens over Packers. Packers wide receiver corps got to stay healthy. That's the first thing. Mike Tannenbaum says Ravens over Lions. Lindsay Theory says Ravens over Eagles. Seth Walder says Packers over Bengals. I'm not sure I expected the Packers to even be in any of these Super Bowl predictions, let alone winning one of them. And Field Yates says Rams over Eagles. So a lot of Eagles, a lot of Ravens, a lot of Lions.
The Chiefs on that last one, how can the Rams and Eagles be in the same?
Ravens. Ravens over Eagles. Did I say Ravens? Rams? Okay. I'll punch myself in the throat today. God. It's been a long one. I've had a long day today. Just give me some slack. How you like them apples? That's a good one. That's a good one. Somebody in the text line just put that in. With me saying Matt Damon instead of Johnny Damon, how you like them apples? Jacob, can you name that movie for me?
I cannot.
Nothing? No, how you like them apples?
I'm not good with movies.
My boy's wicked smart. Nothing? It's Good Will Hunting. He won an Oscar for that.
Like I said, I'm not good with movies, and it's hard. I can never.
It's one of the
TV
best
shows
movies
and movies
of all
are
time.
Stuff that I can't really get into.
It's one of the best movies of all time.
Yeah, I've seen it. I can't pull it from memory.
Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, Robin Williams. It's a great movie. Such a good movie. I appreciate that quote there. How you like them apples? I deserve it. I'm shocked that of these 13 NFL experts, only one had the Chiefs even in the Super Bowl next year. You've got of these 13, 1, 2, 3, 4 picked the Bills. You've got the Bengals being picked by 1, 2, 2 people. And you've got the Ravens being picked 3 or 4 times. I'm kind of baffled by that. Who's your MVP for next year? They're saying Joe Burrow. So that's 2 already for Burrow. There's a third. Patrick Mahomes for 1. Jaden Daniels is getting some love from Dan Graziano. Another for Daniels. 1 for Lamar Jackson. 1 for Josh Allen. 1 for Jordan Love. I'm having trouble understanding. Another for Jaden Daniels, another for Mahomes, and another for Lamar Jackson. Mike Tannenbaum's taking Justin Herbert from the Chargers.
He's not going to throw the ball enough times to be in MVP conversations.
So Tannenbaum's of the belief that the Chargers are going to sign T. Higgins and draft Elijah Arroyo from the Miami Dolphins to give him 2 more playmakers.
Draft him from the Miami Dolphins?
Yeah, I don't know. This Solak guy says, the rule of thumb is to find the starting quarterback of a team that wins its conference. If the Lions take a step back due to their coordinator changes, the Packers should push for a division title on the back of a productive Love campaign, and they get a third-place schedule. He's got to stay healthy. Jordan Love himself has to stay healthy, and then the weapons around him need to stay healthy, of which they have not been able to do. Jaden Reed has not been able to stay healthy. Christian Watson has not been able to stay healthy. That seems like a complete shot in the dark. That's like you're just trying to be a shock jockey. You're like, hey, how? Oh, whoa, here you go. Somebody says, when in doubt, give me the best quarterback on the planet. He took Patrick Mahomes. Field Yates says Lamar Jackson. He nearly secured his third MVP this past season as an unstoppable force. He needs to improve on his postseason play. Yeah, that's an understatement. But the Ravens should be a wins machine again in 2025. Some of them are taking some big swings on big moves this offseason. Bowen says, one person says, yeah, T. Higgins signing with the Commanders. The Browns trading Myles Garrett to the Bills. Ooh. Bengals extend Ja'Marr Chase and re-sign T. Higgins. That would be a deviation from their path of being the most frugal organization in sports. They don't want to pay anybody ever.
Didn't they just sign Ja'Marr Chase too? Or when was his last contract extension?
Da-da-da-da-da. That's a good question. Ja'Marr Chase contract. He signed he's still on his rookie deal by all intents and purposes. So he'll be on a 5th year club option if they decide to pick it up. So his, yeah, this year he had a cap hit of $10 million. If they accept the club option on him, it'll be $21 million a year. But you got to pay that man more than that. You got to give him a 4 or 5 year extension worth, I don't know, $28 to $30 million a year. Whatever the top of the market is for a wide receiver, that's what you've got to pay him. He just got the receiving triple crown. You'd be foolish to let him.
Yeah, when you're talking about best wide receivers in the league, you're talking about Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase are the first two names that come to mind.
Yeah, man, I don't know. Some of these I find massively interesting. You only had two or three people that took Mahomes as the MVP for next year. You only had once to even go to the Super Bowl next year. Oh, yeah, they've only been to it 5 of the last 6 years. Seems like the fairly easy option to take, but let's go with the Green Bay Packers. The Packers are going to go to the Super Bowl, and they're going to win it. You're out of your damn mind.
Hey, give me Drake May MVP.
I think you should be hoping for Drake May to lead your team to 6 wins.
Oh, I mean, I'm hoping he stays healthy is what I'm hoping for. Potentially sign T. Higgins. There's reports that say we're going to try and throw 30 mil at him, and it's just, it would give Drake May a jump ball threat, but, you know, I don't know if that's the, like I said, I'm more worried about the offensive line and him trying to stay healthy.
Yeah, that's my thing. Like, T. Higgins, when he's healthy, is a highly productive wide receiver. He's a wide receiver one for 25-plus teams in this league. The problem is that are you going to get a full 17-game regular season out of T. Higgins? More often than not, he's shown us that he's not capable of a full 17-game regular season. So that is a highly questionable decision to throw $30 million a year at. But, hey, to each their own. 913-586-7965 is our number. Continue to send us messages throughout the course of the night. We're with you till 9 o'clock tonight here on After Hours. Logan Weber here with you, my producer for tonight's show, Jacob Mustard. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL news to get to throughout the course of tonight's show, but a couple of rather unfortunate stories today that I want to kind of run down here really quickly while we have some time. For those who maybe haven't been all over social media today, the grandfather of quarterback Patrick Mahomes passed away today. I don't have a ton of detail, obviously. I'm not sure if it is his mother's father or his dad's father, but did see the news today that Patrick Mahomes' grandfather passing away. So certainly, you know, feel for the Mahomes family in that sense. We've got more information coming out about the Kadarius Toney situation. So a month ago, January 14th in Georgia, Kadarius Toney, what the reports are telling us is his girlfriend called 911 from a house across the street from where they were living, because it is reported that they were living together. She went across the street and called 911 and told authorities over the phone that she was Kadarius Toney's girlfriend. Or rather, she said that Kadarius Toney was her boyfriend. She said that he attacked her and he grabbed her by the throat. He attempted to strangle her while she was holding her child, and also telling authorities that she is 7 months pregnant at the same time. She said that she was able to get away from him. He took her phone to prevent her from calling 911, so that's why she ran across the street to call authorities. Again, this is all, according to police reports, this is all an alleged situation. Nobody here should be presuming guilt one way or the other in this case, just reporting on what we have information-wise and in terms of the investigation as of right now. He was arrested and charged with assault. He was also charged with obstructing 911 calls for allegedly stealing the woman's phone and preventing her from being able to get a hold of law enforcement. This is a terrible, you know, terrible situation for all involved. For that poor woman, if this is indeed what happened, this is awful. She's holding her child. She's pregnant with 7 months pregnant with another child, presumably a child of her and Kadarius Toney's, and he allegedly attacks her, leaving ligature marks, bruises, and redness on her neck, takes her phone from her to stop her from being able to contact authorities for her own safety in that case. It's also, admittedly, right, and I know that this is hard to say, it's sad for Kadarius Toney. He's 26 years old. 2 years ago, 2 years ago at this time, he was celebrating a Super Bowl win. Last year, celebrating a Super Bowl win, although he was a healthy scratch for that game. He caught a touchdown pass in that Super Bowl against the Niners 2 years ago. Had the longest punt return in Super Bowl history in that game. And now 2 years later, he could very well be facing prison time. And it is a very real possibility that his time in the NFL is over. That's rather sad. The last sad story that I've got here tonight, and we'll quickly move on here. We'll hit a break and kind of try to bring things a little bit more upbeat. Apparently, the situation that occurred in the Super Bowl parade last year in Kansas City, which was a year ago today, rather unfortunately, was not a fluke. It was not a one-off. Authorities are reporting that at least two people were shot in Philadelphia near the parade route while they were celebrating the Eagles Super Bowl parade on Friday. The statement from the Philadelphia Police Department said authorities are investigating a double shooting that occurred on the highway near the 2300 block of Ben Franklin Parkway at around 2:35 p.m. Two women sustained gunshot wounds outside of the parade's footprint. One of them suffered a gunshot wound to the leg. The other was shot in the upper left thigh. Both victims were transported to a nearby hospital where they are currently listed in stable condition. No crime scene has been located. No weapon recovered. Police have not made any arrests, and the investigation remains ongoing. So, again, a very, very sad situation. I hate to continue to see this happen, man. I mean, large groups of people gather together for seemingly a similar purpose of celebrating something like this, your team in your city winning a Super Bowl, and things like this happen. Sad. Very, very sad situation. But we move on, and we will not talk about sad for the remainder of the show, at least not hopefully. We got a lot more to get to, though. Speaking of the Philadelphia Eagles and the Super Bowl parade, Saquon Barkley, dude, he's a good dude. Saquon Barkley is a solid individual and somebody that everybody should be thrilled to have on their football team. Yeah, that's a dig at you, New York Giants, for letting him walk, you morons. We'll talk about what Saquon did to allow me to say something of that stature coming up next. You're listening to After Hours. Logan Weber joined by Jacob Mustard. This is your home for Kansas City sports. It's 96.5 The Fan. Man, the Philadelphia Eagles fan base is the worst. They are the worst in professional sports. Jacob, I'm going to blame you for what's going to happen here in the next 10 minutes. This is entirely your fault.
My bad.
During the break, Jacob showed me a video, a diss track from 860 Chris. Nobody knows who you are. Who wrote a diss track called F the Chiefs. I think we all know what that letter stands for. The diss track is set to the music of Shake It Off by Taylor Swift. Solid touch. Understand it. Maybe the best part of his diss. The song is atrocious. I'm sorry. You thought, oh, it's kind of catchy. It's awful. He accuses the Chiefs of cheating in the video and then shows the blatant offensive pass interference by A.J. Brown in which he just puts his hand on Trent McDuffie's face and is like, oh, they cheated. How did the Chiefs cheat? He said the defense was boo-boo. Chiefs defense played pretty well throughout the course of that game.
Yeah, they were just on the field way too much. Yeah. Your defense is never going to sustain that well of play if you're on the field that long.
And, I mean, the Eagles scored 17 points without the defense having to do much of anything. They had the pick six. Mahomes threw the interception at inside the 20-yard line where the Eagles needed one first down seemingly to cross into the end zone. And then you had the strip sack fumble, which the Chiefs held them to a three and out in a field goal. That's 17 points that the Chiefs defense did not give up in this football game. So really, your offense scored 23 points against the Chiefs defense? That's really good for an NFL defense. In a Super Bowl, that's incredible. Just wasn't enough because the offense was so bad. He said the GOAT debate is over. It's nowhere near over. I'm sorry, Jacob. It's not.
It's not, but it shouldn't have begun. Like, it shouldn't have even begun yet. Like, if he did the three-peat, then it's like, okay, there, that should have started it. But because there was such, you know, force coming from a bunch of fans and a bunch of, let's be real, people who hate Tom Brady, starting this as soon as they could, as soon as the next person's crowned, and as soon as Brady retires, it's like, you know, you're going to have a lot of pushback.
They needed somebody to root for against Brady when his career was done, and they needed somebody to hate after that. You know, they wanted to build Mahomes up to be the next Brady or be similar to Brady or be, you know, in a position to pass Brady. And then when he loses, they all cheer and they're all like, oh, yeah, this is great. This is not the only point that I have to make about how unscrupulous and disgusting the Philadelphia Eagles fan base is. Apparently, along the parade route somewhere, a couple of Philadelphia degenerates decided it would be funny to roast a pig. Nothing wrong with roasting a pig. Aside from the fact that they put an afro on it and put the number 15 on the side of it. Why?
I didn't see it, and when you started to talk about it, I kind of knew instantly where you were going with it. We kind of talked about it before. You know, you're going to have those fans in every fan base, but it seems to be way more prominent with the Eagles.
I've never seen anything like that during this Chiefs run, of the Chiefs doing what they've done. I've never seen fans or players call out a specific opponent or anything of that nature. And what has Patrick Mahomes done to deserve that level of vitriol other than win, you crybabies? And it gets worse. Because you've got these two dudes spit roasting a Patrick Mahomes pig. That's one thing. There was also an image that became viral on social media today of a Kermit the Frog doll, stuffed animal, whatever you might call it, with a number 15 jersey and an afro representing Patrick Mahomes, similar to what the Raiders did, right, with the hand puppet or whatever, that was hanging by a light post by a rope. Nice. Well done, Philly. God, no wonder you're hated across the National Football League, you scumbags. That's disgusting. Really? Because you beat a guy in a football game, you think it's okay to put a likeness of him together and hang it from a light post by its neck? You're hanging Patrick Mahomes. Gross. Just despicable human beings. I can't. Ugh. Like I said, this is your fault, Jacob. I'm letting it go. But hey, we got a few minutes here. I'm going to turn it positive, okay? I'm going to turn it around because something good did come out of the Eagles Super Bowl parade today. And I mentioned this going into the last break. Saquon Barkley is a good dude. I mean, he is a quality human being. Yesterday on this show with Julio Sanchez, who was producing for me, we talked about yesterday on the Howard Stern show, Saquon Barkley came to the defense of Taylor Swift and said, like, I don't understand the hate she's getting. She's supporting the person she loves, and she's growing the game of football, and isn't that what we all want? I don't understand all the hate she's getting. So today, during the Super Bowl parade, right, they're going down the route and whatever. Saquon's off the bus, and he's high-fiving, he's shaking hands and kissing babies over there in Philly. And as he's walking by, he notices that one of the people on the sidewalk, one of the patrons of the parade, is a ball boy for the Philadelphia Eagles. So Saquon runs over to him, celebrates with him, hugs him, and then picks him up, pulls him over the fence to come celebrate with the team along the parade route. That's awesome. That is a quality move by presumably what we have all seen over the last few years, a quality human being. I've never heard a bad thing said about Saquon Barkley throughout his career, right? The only knock ever against him has been that he had injury issues in New York. But to be the kind of player he is on the field and to do the kind of things he does off the field is awesome. That's so cool to me. I mean, to take the time to go out into the stands and celebrate with people first and foremost is a cool thing. And we've seen the Chiefs players do that in the last few years here in Kansas City, obviously. Recognizes the guy, knows that it's a ball boy on the team, and then rather than just going up and celebrating with him, high-fiving and giving him a hug or whatever and continuing along his way, says, oh, no, you're a part of this team. You're going to be a part of this celebration. And then picks up a grown man, picks him up, and puts him over the fence like he's a toddler, like pulling a toddler out of their... It's just insane. And says, no, you're going to come be a part of this with us. You're going to come celebrate this because this win is as much for you as it is for us. And I think that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool stuff from Saquon Barkley, continuing to show that he is a high-quality human being. So I kind of wanted to end it with that. 913-586-7965 is our number. One more hour coming up here until 9 o'clock. This is After Hours. Logan Weber joined by my producer for this evening's show, Jacob Mustard. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.